47 is where we are going to be. Let me give you some jokes tonight. Why do trees seem suspicious on sunny days? They just seem a little shady. Yeah, you saw that one coming. What do you call a penguin in the White House? Lost. That's terrible. How does a boar sign its name? A pig pen. What do you hear? Want to hear a joke about paper? Never mind, it's terrible. Like terrible. Oh. Terrible. Is the pool safe for diving? It deep ends. These are getting better, aren't they? Why did everyone enjoy being around the volcano? It's just so lovable. What did the ocean say to the boat? Nothing, it just waved. After dinner, my mom asked if I could clear the table. I needed the running start, but I made it. What do you get from a pampered cow? Spoiled milk. What do you get if you cross an angry sheep and a moody cow? An animal that's in a bad mood. I really sold that one, I thought. My friend eats a bowl of fries, cheese, and curds and gravy every morning. It's his daily poutine. Did you hear about the bacon cheese Did you hear about the bacon cheeseburger who couldn't stop telling jokes? It was on a roll. Don't trust atoms. They make up everything. Why are spiders so smart? It's because they find everything on the web. that's not going to make it. What did Mars ask Saturn? Saturn, hey, can you give me a ring sometime? All right, this is my favorite one. It's probably the worst. What did the fisherman say to the magician? Pick a cod, any cod. Like a fish, a cod, you know. I think it's because I'm from Nova Scotia and that's just terribly funny. Terrible, not funny. I need to get a better joke book. I think I do. All right, here's some questions from last week. Before Jacob left Egypt, what did he do? Before he left for Egypt, what did he do? Sacrificed. Sought the Lord's will, both correct. Which verse teaches us this principle? I made the point that he acknowledged God, and which verse teaches us this for our life? Proverbs 3:6. When Jacob wanted to go to Egypt, what did the Lord say about this decision? He didn't know if it was the right decision, so he sought the Lord, he sacrificed, sought God, and God says, Jacob, two things. I'll go with you, and I will also what? He'll lead us, but he said two specific things. I will go with you to Egypt, but I will also bring you up again. What did we learn about Jacob's family as far as his lineage? What did we learn about them going into Egypt? They were a what family? They were imperfect, but they were following a what? Or who? A perfect God. And so Joseph wanted his family to go where in Egypt? Goshen. And what two tribes, when we think about when they're preparing for Joseph to meet Jacob for the first time in 22 years, it was who that kind of prepared the way for that? Judah. And what two tribes dominate Israel's history? Ephraim and Judah, or Joseph and Judah. Joseph was how old when his father left, or when he left his father, was sold into slavery? 17. And how many years left would Jacob have with Joseph before he would die? 17 years. Now, what two offices did Joseph provide for his family? The first was, someone say it, a mediator. And then he was also a minister. He helped prepare them to stand before Pharaoh. And this is some low fruit here. Who is our mediator? Jesus. What's the difference between a relationship with God, true salvation, and what religion will say today? Two words that define each. A relationship with God, the word is faith, but specifically what I said last week, finish, done. And then religion says, do this, do that in order to gain favor with God. Okay, let's think about this then. What was the principle of Jacob's family being a shepherd in Egypt? Yeah, but what was the thought that we determined as shepherds or nomads? And the principle is what? That they would not become part of Egypt, that they were just passing through, that this was not their final home. And then, of course, we learn this about our Christian life, that Egypt is a picture of the world, and this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so what should be our focus as believers? We should have a what view? Eternal view. Absolutely. All right, so we come to the next chapter in Joseph's administrating. He's administrating in Egypt, and the famine was so powerful that it had the potential, or it was, crushing nations. But it was through the wisdom of Joseph that Egypt is not just surviving, it's thriving. And this, of course, is because the wisdom that God gave to Joseph to administrate the blessings that God had given to them. Now, it's one thing, I guess, to say to go through a trial and to get to the other end holding on. It's another thing to go through a trial and get to the other end and be stronger because of it. And I really do, I think that this is a great principle that we can learn from troubles and trials and burdens that we face. And it's simply this, that God wants us to be better and not bitter. Better and not bitter. God doesn't want us to get bitter over the circumstances of our life. He wants us to be better, to be stronger, to thrive, and to get through those circumstances looking to the Lord. And so Egypt was prejudiced against shepherds, as we looked at last week. And yet the Joseph and the brothers, they were honest before Pharaoh. And so Joseph gives his family a lesson of what life is like in Egypt in chapter 46, prepares them to stand before Pharaoh. And we see just in Joseph's life, we see God's direction, right? It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge God and he directs your path. And we see God's direction in in Joseph's life, one wise decision after another, as the Lord is helping him. And we know that this wisdom is not wisdom from ourselves or from the world, but it is wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we want to be wise in the truths and principles of the Bible. And so verse number 1 of chapter 47, Joseph stands before Pharaoh. Look what the Bible says here, Genesis 47 verse 1. Then Joseph came and stood and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." So let's break this down, and we're going to break down these verses specifically. We're going to kind of look at all these truths here. I want us to know, point number one, Joseph stands before Pharaoh. And so as Joseph comes before Pharaoh here, the Bible says that Joseph took with him five brothers. In verse number 2, he takes five brothers. And we don't know specifically which brothers that he decided to take with him. But I'm sure that he took the brothers in wisdom, the ones that he knew would respond well, right? And Joseph, he had that wisdom, and we see that he had the testimony of that wisdom. And so he chose the brothers, five brothers that he believed would be the best for the situation. And this was according to his wisdom, the wisdom that God had given to him. And so they're standing before Pharaoh. Now this, I think, would have a lot to do with faithfulness, testimony, personality. Let me ask you this question. If you're standing before Pharaoh or a great leader and you are in Bible times and you have 12 disciples with you, which disciple would you want to be with you to stand before Pharaoh? Just think about the personalities of the disciples for a moment. Which disciple would you want to be with you to stand before Pharaoh? John? John seems like a solid guy. Seems like, you know, he trusted in the Lord, was wise in those things. Luke? Luke was a physician. Seemed like a pretty solid guy, you know. Not a hothead, not someone who's going to run his mouth, but a solid guy. Let me ask you this question. Which disciple would you not want with you to stand before Pharaoh? Peter. Yeah, because you just don't know what Peter's going to say. And I think that obviously Joseph knew his brothers well enough to know, okay, these are the five brothers I'm going to take with me and to stand before Pharaoh. Someone said this in one of the commentaries, a keen student of human nature and a discerning man, Joseph knew which of his brothers could best meet Pharaoh and make a good appearance. So he chooses five. And then we look at our text here, we notice Pharaoh's question. Letter A, Pharaoh's question. Now the five brothers are brought to Pharaoh, and the Bible says they're presented to Pharaoh, and so they stand before Pharaoh, and in verse number 3 here, we notice this question, what is your occupation? Now this is exactly what Joseph said was going to take place. Joseph knew the culture of Egypt. He had already talked with Pharaoh. There were conversations that were happening. And he had prepared his brothers of what was going to take place. And he said, you're going to stand before Pharaoh. In fact, chapter 46, verse 33, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? And so this is exactly what was happening, what would take place. And so the question is presented here by Pharaoh, what is your occupation? And we notice the brothers' response here. And the response is, we're shepherds. Not only is it our occupation, but they said this is also our heritage. This is of our fathers. And so this was something that we had a long lineage of. But I look at the scripture here and I notice that this is not only the brothers' response, but it's also their request. And they say here, listen, we have no fields in Canaan. Their request is simple. The famine has taken everything we have. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4 in our text. And they said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And so not only do we notice a response, we also see a request. They're saying here, listen, we have nothing left. Everything is gone. The famine has taken away everything that we own. And we're asking if we can dwell in the land of Goshen and be shepherds, you know, the same as our fathers. Now, I also like here the attitude of the brothers, these five men as they stand before Pharaoh. And notice in our text, two times they refer to themselves as Pharaoh's servants. Pharaoh's servants. It's a great attitude to have. It's an attitude of not just taking, but also serving. And when you read this passage of scripture, you get the sense here as they say, you know, we are your servants. We're not here just to take, but we're also here to give and to serve. We are your servants. You know, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because it has such a high salt level, and nothing can survive in the Dead Sea. But one of the main reasons that it's filled with salt is because the Dead Sea has many inlets, but it has no outlets. It's always taking, but it's never giving. And if we're always taking and never giving, then it really keeps us from getting to where God wants us to go. I remember a pastor telling me one time he had someone come to his church and he was meeting with this individual and they were in his office. And this man started to grill the pastor and say, what can you offer our family? We want to know what you can give our family. What can this church do for our family? And the pastor paused for a second and he says, I told him, I said, wait a minute, what can you do for our church? And so many times we have the attitude of take, but we forget about the attitude of give, and serve. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Notice the order there, important. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You get out of it what you put into it. And I love the attitude that these men had. And so we notice here in the scripture their response, or you could say their request. But also notice Pharaoh's response to this. The response of Pharaoh was what he told Joseph before. In verses 5 and 6, he acknowledges what Joseph and Pharaoh had discussed in the early chapter. The Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 47, the land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. It's an interesting thought here, because not only are they giving a land where they can, you know, perform their occupation, but also they're given a promotion. And here they have the opportunity to be the official herdsmen of Pharaoh. Joseph was kind to Pharaoh, and we see here that now Pharaoh is kind to Joseph and his family. And he's blessing Joseph and his family. Letter D in the notes, let's look at verse 7 here. Let's notice what the Bible says in verse 7. Pharaoh meets Jacob is letter D. The Bible says in verse 7, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. In the next verses, we see Jacob meeting Pharaoh for the very first time. And I'm sure that Pharaoh was excited to meet Jacob. I'm sure he heard lots about Jacob. But also, I think that Pharaoh was excited for Joseph. And the Bible says that Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Joseph brought blessing, God's blessing, into Egypt. And now we see once again Jacob is blessing Pharaoh and his kingdom. You know, I think it's important for us to have a biblical perspective to those who are lost. And the Bible, you know, the Bible teaches us how Christians are to respond to those who are without, or those who are without the Lord. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And notice what the scripture says here. If you could turn there with me, 1 Peter, the second chapter, and then the 11th verse together. And notice what the scripture says. You know, we know that Pharaoh was believed in many gods, but not the true God. And yet, we see here that Jacob blesses him, and he's appreciative of all that Pharaoh is doing for him and his family. But it's important for us to have the right attitude in response to those who are lost. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," or "I beg of you," Peter writes, "as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Having your conversation, again, conversation, an old English word, it's not just the words you say, but it's the life that you live. It's your lifestyle. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, this passage of Scripture is teaching us of how we are to respond or live in a crooked and perverse world. You say, how are we to live our life? We are to be a testimony of godliness. That even a world that does not believe the Bible or look to God, they would see our life and they would glorify God in the time of their life when troubles and trials come into their life and they're pressured, and that day of visitation, that they would look at your testimony and say, hey, I don't agree with what they believe, but there's something different about them. And the Bible says we're to be lights and we're to be salt, and salt creates thirst for the things of God. And I believe that Jacob was that type of man where he did his very best, and he wasn't perfect by any means, but he tried to live a life that would glorify God. He was 130 years old. 130 years old. I want us to notice letter E here, Jacob's testimony. The Bible says in verse 9, "And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not obtained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage." Now the Bible describes life in various ways and illustrates life in various ways, specifically the Christian life. How does the Bible illustrate the Christian life? The Christian life is what? Life is a race. Absolutely. It's a what? It's a fight. It's a battle. The Bible says that our life is a garden, right? God is the husbandman, and we're a garden, and he's growing us and working in us. The Bible also says that we're a building, and God is the master builder, and he's working in our life. And here, Jacob describes his life. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey. It's a journey. I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, if we could turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice here, as we think of the patriarchs, as their attitude of pilgrims, and they're going through life as pilgrims, not putting roots down, but looking to God. And Hebrews 11 in verse 13, where we'll begin reading here, gives us this thought. It says in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Pilgrims. This world is not our home. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Jacob looked at his life, 130 years old now, and he looked at his life and he said, "You know what? I'll describe to you the days of my life. They are few and they are evil." Now, we think about few. He's comparing it to Abraham and Isaac. Isaac lived to be 180 years old. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. Jacob would live 17 more years. The reality is, as we come, you know, to his life, Even if you lived to be 500 years old, what is 500 years in light of eternity? It is few. Even if you lived to be 1,000 years old, in light of eternity, it is just a second. And Jacob said, "The days of my life are few, and they're evil." And by the way, that word, "they're evil," it's not wicked. It doesn't mean wicked. The word "they're evil" means the thought is distress or misery. "The days of my life are few and they're burdened." And I think that this really describes our lives today. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but life is short and life is filled with burdens. The Bible says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." If you've ever had the opportunity to go camping and you've made a campfire, a wood fire, and you looked at that fire and you see the sparks flying off of that fire. Job is describing life, and he says, as the sparks are coming off of that fire, so are the troubles and burdens of our life. One after another, life is filled with hardship. And Jacob had lived a short life compared to his father's. But yet at the end of the day, it was a life filled with hardship. And it was just a moment in light of eternity. Let's think about letter F here, a new location. And so the Bible says in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 10, the Bible says, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession of the land of Egypt. Now, the Bible says in this passage of scripture here that Pharaoh kept his word. And Joseph's family goes to the best of the land. They're giving such great blessings. They're well taken care of. I don't know if I have time to really expound on this thought. But God had blessed Joseph and his family in an incredible way. And not only was this God's great pathway for Joseph's life, remember that's where we began the study. It was going to be a four-week study on God is greater in his pathway. And not only was God's pathway in Joseph's life great, but it was also great in Jacob's life, and it was great in the brother's life as well. And all of the family was being led by God. And the Bible says, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded, Pharaoh kept his word and did exactly what he told Joseph he would do. And this family was blessed because of it. But as we continue looking at this, this is the incredible thing. And I think there's a great picture here for us. The Egyptians basically had to sell everything they had to survive. They ended up being slaves. They gave everything over to Pharaoh in order to put food on their table. And yet God blessed his people. And I think if you don't get anything from the story of Joseph, this principle is absolutely the best principle you'll ever learn. Because if you decide to go and live it up in the world, you may have success, but it's only for a short time. And the world will eventually chew you up and spit you out. But if you follow God and in his pathway, not only are you blessed in this life, but the life to come. And I think this is wonderfully illustrated in Joseph's life. The Egyptians became poorer and poorer until they had to sell themselves. So many people become slaves to the world. But there's a great blessing in following the Lord. And the Bible says in chapter 47, verse 12, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. It's always a great blessing to follow God. And listen, it may not make sense right now, but it will. Keep following God. His pathway is great for our life. And the devil makes a lot of promises, right? The devil says, if you follow me, I'll give you wealth. I'll give you success. I'll give you promotions. But as the old preacher said many years ago, all of the devil's checks bounce. And all of his apples have worms. He never keeps his word. He's a liar. But if we trust God, his pathway is blessed. And we're going to be done for tonight as we ran out of time. Next week, point number two, we're going to look at the hardship in Egypt and all that they faced and what they had to do in order just to survive. And then we're going to look at, let me give you just a sneak peek. I'm excited about this because as Jacob comes to the end of his life in the end of chapter 47, I believe he gives us the greatest advice for a funeral that we could ever have. And we're going to look at that at the end of this chapter. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. And we're grateful for the opportunity.